Sorry, babe. This says Oscar Wilde. Bring me back a form signed by somebody who's alive. Joey's pissed.
Professor Wilder pulled a fast one on her.
She never even looked.
Idiot. Where is it?
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 502, The Lost Weekend, which originally aired on October 17th, 2001.
The Lost Weekend.
The Lost Weekend.
Not The Long Weekend, which is what I thought it was the entire time.
And is it because we pick up after the weekend has already happened?
I don't know. I thought it was The Long Weekend.
Is it?
No, but it's like we last left them on like a Thursday or a Friday. I think it was a Friday and we're picking up on Monday. So that's why I kind of thought it was The Long Weekend because like Dawson's is visiting for The Long Weekend.
Sure.
But it is called The Lost Weekend. Why? We'll never know. What is our Dawson's drink for The Lost Weekend?
We will be drinking The Lost Weekend. It is rum, lime cordial, lime juice, and absinthe.
Oh, yes, our absinthe drink. Did you say the air date?
Yes, it was October 17th, 2001.
October 17th. So we're like deep into the fall. But as discussed, this season was pushed a few weeks because of 9/11.
Yeah. So things are kind of all going to be askew this season, I think.
Yeah. And there are some references in this episode to like, we're just a few weeks into the semester, not like 8 weeks, which October 17th is. So everything was pushed a little bit, but it's fine.
It's fine. We're rolling with it. We have bigger fish to fry in October 2001.
Oh my God. What a time. Thank God we had Dawson's to save us.
Praise be.
Well, I'm going to dive into the recap for episode 502, The Lost Weekend.
Do it.
This episode opens with Joey and Dawson together in her dorm room. It's the Monday morning after their weekend together. Dawson decides to check his messages on his answering machine in LA, and he starts to hear Joey's voicemail from a few days earlier. Joey panics and tries to grab the phone, insisting she wants it back and that Dawson can't hear it. Dawson refuses and listens anyway, stunned to hear that Joey essentially says goodbye in this voicemail. Joey claims that she was drunk and hurt and she didn't mean anything she said. Dawson is upset and fires back that he flew 3,000 miles to see her and she should not even want him here if that's how she really feels. Joey doesn't have time for this because it's the last day to drop classes and she has to rush off to drop Professor Wilder's English class. Audrey suggests that she could occupy Dawson and take him to the campus tours. Once Joey is gone, Audrey and Dawson comment on what a handful Joey can be. So meanwhile, Jack and Jen have spent the entire weekend searching all over Boston for Charlie, the guy Jen met at the party. They never exchange numbers, but Jack assures her that he will call because if he wants to find her, he will. Jen worries about being judged and labeled as a slut. Jack reminds her that she has not kissed anyone in a year, and the only person that she has kissed was him, her gay BFF. He also points out that she has not had sex in the entire time that he's known her, and he reminds her that college culture does not keep score the way she fears that it does. Their search leads them to the college radio station, where they discover Charlie working as a DJ. He invites Jen on air, and the two flirt and have witty banter while discussing their weekend regrets, which includes not getting someone's number they met at a party. Their chemistry is obvious, and they later end up in his room, debating music. Jen is surprised by his broad taste, from rap to Dolly Parton, while Charlie calls her out for being cynical and closed off and having a very narrow taste in music. Jen opens up about herself, that she's from a small town, she likes to knit, and she lives with her grandmother. And they also clear up the misunderstanding that Charlie thought Jack was her boyfriend, but Jen explains that he's just her gay best friend. And the two end up sleeping together. Back on campus, Joey needs Professor Wilder's signature to drop his class. He challenges her reasons for leaving. Joey lies and claims that she's overloaded and just took on way too many classes, but Wilder pushes back, saying he thought way more highly of her and he did not expect her to take the easy way out. He asks if she ended up rewriting that short story from last week's episode. Joey admits that she did not, and she says her feelings about the boy have changed drastically since Friday. He reluctantly signs the drop slip. So elsewhere, Dawson and Audrey head to the tour meeting spot, And Audrey is openly flirting, and it is revealed that she is the tour guide. That is her part-time job, and she is going to give Dawson a tour for the day. Audrey confides in Dawson that she's also from Los Angeles, and since he attends USC, they discover some overlapping connections, like someone she went to high school with who's also in one of Dawson's classes. And they start to commiserate over LA and bond. Audrey questions whether Dawson truly loves Los Angeles the way he claims he does, pointing out that he flew across the country after only a few weeks. Dawson admits that he's just homesick and it feels normal. So we then go to Pacey, who's still living on his boat, and we see that he now has a lady in his life named Melanie, a wealthy woman he met while working as a deckhand over the summer. So they've clearly spent the night together and they make plans for lunch, and she comments that he should definitely wear the shirt she bought him. So after she leaves, Doug comes up and confronts Pacey about what he's doing with his life and what his future holds. Pacey admits that he's pretty much waiting around for his next deckhand job to come through, but Doug encourages him to go into Boston and talk to his friend who owes him a favor, and we see that Pacey is very hesitant to do so. Back at Worthington, Joey waits in this enormous line to drop classes. It's the last day to drop them, so the line is huge. Dawson, Joey, and Audrey briefly cross paths while she's in line, and Dawson and Joey get a moment alone. Dawson accuses Joey of avoiding their earlier conversation, and they debate whether they should actually follow through on what Joey said she wanted to do in her voicemail. But nothing is resolved as Joey heads back to the drop line. When she finally reaches the front, she realizes that Professor Wilder signed the form Oscar Wilde, making it invalid. So she tracks him down, and he refuses to let her drop it so easily. He insists that she rewrite her story first, believing that she has way too much talent to quit. But if she does so and she does rewrite the story, he'll sign the drop form, no questions asked. She agrees, and after reading her new story, her revision, he gives her an A-, and he indeed follows through and signs the drop form. After Joey sees her new grade, she throws her drop form in the trash, realizing that she has been trying to take the easy way out, something that is not true to who she is. So Pacey follows up on Doug's lead and meets Doug's friend, who happens to be a chef at a Boston restaurant. Initially, Pacey's offered a dishwasher job, and he brushes it off, claiming that he's only there to do this favor for Doug and has no real interest in the position. But later, he has lunch with Melanie at an expensive restaurant where she insists on paying and says that this is something girlfriends do for their cute boyfriends without jobs. And this leaves Pacey feeling a little inadequate and unsettled. So he returns to the restaurant, and he's much more serious about the job this time. But he explains that he has tons of experience helping the chefs on boats, and notes that he's been cooking and cleaning fish his entire life. The chef is impressed, and Pacey says that they don't want to waste his talents on a dishwasher position. So the chef actually offers Pacey a sous chef position. Outside, Pacey flirts with the waitress on her smoke break, and she complains about the job, mocks the shirt Melanie bought him, and we can see that there is a sharp contrast between this waitress and Melanie. This waitress reminds him that this place may suck, but it's the people you're with, not necessarily the place you're at, that matters. And we get the feeling we'll be seeing more of her. So as the campus tour ends, Dawson confides in Audrey that he actually lost his job as intern. And she says, well, that's one less thing tying you to LA. And we see this land on Dawson, realizing that he doesn't really have much holding him there. So Jen and Charlie wake up in the middle of the day, and we see that Jen is upset that they fell asleep. She mentions Jack and her grandmother again, only to realize that Charlie wasn't really listening to her before. He thought he was joking about Grams, and he doesn't really know who Jack is. It becomes clear that he may not be as attentive or genuine as she believed. So Jen starts to storm out, but he stops her at the door and charms her again. They kiss and fall back into his room, slamming the door behind them. So later, Audrey and Joey bump into each other outside their dorm room, and Audrey gives Joey this big speech about Dawson getting tired of waiting around for her, so he went back to LA. He's done with her for good. Joey sees through this and demands to know where Dawson actually is. Audrey admits that he's at the airport, so Joey rushes there and finds him. Dawson is clearly going through it. He's torn and he's homesick, and he says, you know, it must be nice that Joey has Jack, Jen, and Grams nearby. And Joey admits that it is. You know, even though it's not her house and it's not her grandmother, it does feel like a nice safety net to have. So they finally have an open talk about the weekend and the voicemail. Dawson says that he was shocked to hear her voicemail, and Joey says that she didn't mean it. No matter what she said in that message, it's not how she truly feels. She wants him there. Dawson admits that he's so afraid that if he got on this plane and goes back to USC in 4 years, they won't even know each other anymore. They won't talk. He asks if she wants that, and she says, no, of course not. So he drops his bag and does not get on the plane. And that is episode 502, The Lost Weekend.
So much happens in this episode.
Yeah, it was kind of a tough one to recap because it was just boom, boom, back, ping ponging back and forth.
It's one of those where everyone's doing something different. So like you're with these people for a little, you're with these people for a little. Yeah.
I mean, it's solid. I feel like we're in the new era, but it still feels really Dawson's. And at this point, I'm on the hook. I'm like, Jen's getting a storyline. I'm liking Audrey more because she was a little annoying last week. Dawson and Audrey, really refreshing dynamic.
Yeah, they were great.
So who wrote episode 502, The Lost Weekend?
We have another strong team this week. This episode was written by Gina Fattori. She was last with us on episode 423, Coda, with Tom Kapanos, as we discussed last episode. She was first with us on episode 305, Indian Summer, also with Tom. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about her career, or you can listen to our interview with her where we go even deeper. Other highlights include 320 The Longest Day and 323 True Love.
Love. We love her.
We do. She's a gem. A peach.
And what about director?
This episode was directed by David Petrarca. He was most recently with us for episode 419, Late, and his first episode with us was episode 410, Self-Reliance. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him.
Which, of course, they do.
Obviously.
What about guest cast shout out?
We talked about him briefly last episode, but I got to give the guest cast shout out this week to Chad Michael Murray playing Charlie. He's so hot. I'm like immediately transported back to 2001. So his career actually started just before this. He had one episode of Undressed in 2000. That was his first credit. I loved that show. He has 11 episodes of Gilmore Girls, Freaky Friday, Cinderella Story, House of Wax, and then went on to be a regular on One Tree Hill, which, as you all know, I have not watched, but is a classic.
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 He's having a little bit of a resurgence because he was in that Christmas Netflix movie last year where he was a stripper with Britt Robertson.
Yeah, I was just going to say he's really been milking the Christmas movies lately. Like he was doing the whole circuit of Hallmark and Lifetime and then now Netflix. And he also reprised his role as Jake in Freakier Friday, which came out semi-recently.
That's what I was going to say as well. Yeah, he's having a little bit of a moment again, which is great.
He's everything. Right now, to me, he's everything.
I'm very excited to see Charlie because I want to watch this Charlie arc again with the fresh eyes with some distance.
Same.
What about music moment?
For me, it is Question by the Old 97s.
For sure.
End of the episode, Dawson and Joey at the airport. Such a good song.
A few years ago, I decided to get rid of all my mix CDs and my old iPods. Like I had an MP3 player and iPod. So I went through and I kind of took everything from that and just made like a Spotify playlist of. So it's a lot of like 95, 98 to like 2010-ish. And I put it on from time to time. And I was listening to it the other day and this song actually came on it.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is from Felicity or Dawson's or one of them. So I do still listen to the song and I really like it.
Yeah, it's a really good song. Was that yours too?
Yeah.
Past versus present. Do you have anything?
I do. If Doug is gay, the way Pacey believes he's gay, I was wondering, with this time I watched, I was like, oh, is this man like a lover of a secret down low lover of Doug's? And then we find out he's married, which doesn't necessarily make that untrue.
It's interesting you say that because there's a lot of flirting in this episode between a lot of people. And the people who are flirting the hardest are Pacey and that guy at the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, their like banter is very playful, I guess.
I'm very interested in this because I kind of remember the Pacey Chef's arc, but like not really. You know, I know Lourdes Benedicto, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
From other shows. And like, I remember I was excited when she joined Dawson's. And like, I kind of remember, I have glimpses, but I don't really vividly remember this storyline. So I'm actually very excited for this Pacey arc in season 5. I'm excited to relive it.
My past versus present isn't really a past versus present, but in my memory, Dawson was always really annoying. And I'm like solidly team Dawson in this episode. Joey is not talking to him, not communicating at all. And he's just like, look, we're adults. Let's talk about this. And I love that for him. He's a man now.
There was something refreshing about him that felt new and it felt like just a different side of him.
Totally. And even when Audrey was like flirting with him and he was just like going with it, he's like, he's lighter.
When he was like, should we make out? And he said, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a fun Dawson.
Agreed. I like this Dawson.
Yeah. And As disconnected as Pacey is, there's something nice about seeing Pacey just not having a Joey-centric kind of storyline.
Totally. He's on his own. He's living his life. He's figuring stuff out.
Yeah. New chapter. Well, shall we crack it open and get in there?
Let's do it. Open it up.
So it's so funny because last week we were like, did Dawson, you know, listen to the voicemail? Did he not? Is she going to tell him? Is he going to check his answering machine?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which like I totally forgot that that happened, but that is what happened.
Like, do you know that you could dial in?
Yeah. And this was totally giving Ross and Rachel. Do you remember that episode of Friends?
Oh my God. Where yeah. Yeah.
Rachel leaves him the voicemail drunk and confesses her feelings. And then he calls his voicemail in front of her. And she's like, give me the phone. Ross, give me the phone. And she like jumps on his back.
Totally. At the top of this episode, Dawson is rolling up a sleeping bag. And I was like, did Dawson bring a sleeping bag in his duffel bag? Or is that, did they borrow that from somebody else? Did he sleep on the floor in the duffel bag, in the sleeping bag? I don't know. Something about that just cracked
me
up.
He must have slept on the floor, but that's so weird considering they've been sharing a bed for 10 years.
And twin beds are small, but I feel like in college, it was very easy to sleep in a twin bed with another human. Now I'm like, can't even imagine it.
No.
No.
So Dawson hears this voicemail, which is essentially her saying, I want to cut the cord. I want to move on. I want a clean break.
And he is like, were you going to tell me? And she's like, if you didn't bring it up, I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Also, there's a bathroom in their dorm room. Okay, Worthington, go off.
I know. It's so ridiculous.
Amazing.
But they got to do what they got to do. Set wise, you know?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's awesome. And Joey's like really hellbent on dropping this class. But she's like, I wanted to take Dawson around campus today, but I have to go drop this class. It's the last day I can do it.
Well, she has a C, we know. She's very upset about her C. And this whole thing was, you know, the story ended with the kiss from the season 4 finale. And the professor's like, that's where it should begin. What happens next? And Joey's like, I don't know what happens next because nothing's happened in real life. And how can I write a story if nothing's happened? And he's like, well, you're a writer. You need to write it.
Write what you want.
And she's just stifled. But now she wants to drop the class. She doesn't want a C. She's had it.
She doesn't want the C, and she doesn't want to deal with the realities of what has happened with Dawson. She knows that something has happened and it's too overwhelming.
You know what I noticed?
What?
I'm on this Jen and Jack walking around Boston Bay College, because this is obviously an exterior street. To put up the Boston Bay College flags like on the street poles, like the set dressing. Wild. Just fascinates me. Boston Bay College is a fictional college, right?
100%.
So just the fact that they like dress this street, I just love it.
The whole street. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many Boston Bay College flags, you know.
Yeah.
And like they're on the hunt for Charlie. She had a great interaction with him on Thursday or Friday, you know, before the weekend started. So they've been looking for Charlie all weekend. She wants him to call, but they didn't exchange numbers. And Jack's like, look, it's a digital age, babe. If he wants your number, he'll find it.
He'll find it. Yeah. Their minds would be blown in 2026, how easy it is to get in contact with someone.
Yeah. And so he's working at the radio station. He calls them in, calls Jen in.
He sees her and he is so excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cute. And he's like, get in here with his little sign, his little upside down sign.
Professor Wilder will not let Joey drop this class. He's like, I don't think so. You're my prisoner.
He's like, interesting. You want to quit? Okay. Feels like we're breaking up, but no big deal.
She lies. She says, I'm really overwhelmed. I took on too many classes. And he's like, I expected more from you.
She was like, I didn't know what I wanted to study. And now I know. Now I know. Whatever.
Yeah.
God, this campus is gorgeous.
Gorge. And then he kind of smacks a kid on the ass. He hands him a paper and smacks him in the ass with a bunch of papers, which is wild. Professor Wilder is wild.
I feel like Joey's low-rise jeans are what every current teenager wants them to be.
I'm living. And I'm living for that, like, belt. What is that? I don't know.
It's like a rope. It's like a...
It's like
it serves no purpose.
It's like a string belt. Yeah, I don't know. This was the era.
And she's killing it. Kind of feels like she picked up a few things that Gretchen was putting down with her wardrobe and took them on herself.
R.I.P. Gretch. I wouldn't mind a Gretchen mention.
Yeah. No, we forgot about her. Who cares?
So he signs the form, hands it over, but he has challenged her. You know, he's like, I didn't expect you to give up so easily.
And she feels relieved. You can see it on her face. She's like, okay, got over that hurdle.
Audrey's bringing Dawson to the drop spot for his tour. Dawson is wearing closed-toed shoes, thank God. And they're talking about how annoying Joey is. And like, how could a smart girl be so stupid? And Audrey's like, you don't have to sell me on that. Like, I live with the girl. She's crazy.
You're telling me. Also, Dawson is sweating through his shirt a little, which is very real. I feel like in college, we were always like having to walk around and schlep around, and it was always so hot and humid.
For sure. You're huffing it.
You're always huffing it.
And surprise, surprise, Audrey's the tour guide.
Truly didn't see that coming. Didn't remember that. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. She was like, it's perfect for me because I love attention and I love getting people to fall in love with me. I think she says that later to Joey, actually, not to Dawson right now.
Yeah, Audrey really grew on me in this episode. Last week, I was like, oh, Audrey is so annoying. And this week, I'm like, oh, she does have charm to her.
Yeah, she does. Then we're back with Charlie and Jen. Charlie is on air. He's mid talking to the audience and he calls Jen into the studio. He's reckless, gives her headphones. And Jen just turns on the microphone and starts talking on air.
He wants to play a song by the Smiths, Girlfriend in a Coma. And she's like, no, 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 we won't be playing that. That over-requested drivel or whatever she says. And they get into a debate on air. And he's like, look, I'm just playing what people like to hear on Monday mornings. They want to get over their weekend regrets, like not asking a girl for a phone number at a party.
Well, Jen is like, sometimes our regrets are more not what we did, but what we didn't do.
Yeah, you know what? I really liked in this episode, and like Gina, I think is really good at this, getting the conversation to like starting it at an interesting place and getting it to where it needs to be, kind of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Like turning a radio broadcast conversation into like them talking about their interaction at the party.
Absolutely.
Sometimes those pivots can feel really jarring, you know? Wedged in, but it feels really natural.
She does it well. It's like some dazzling banter and all of it comes out seamlessly. All the stuff we've been waiting for them to talk about.
Yeah. He has such nice eyes.
And they're gazing. They're gazing at each other.
Yeah. They are smitten.
They're smitten. I miss college.
For sure. I just miss the randomness of it.
Yeah, totally.
Like we're all so regimented now.
And then we're back at the marina. Pacey's got a girlfriend. Who saw that coming?
Melanie, and it's the girl from This Is Us.
I knew she looked familiar.
Now, they reference this summer, so we know they met. We find out later that he worked on her aunt's boat, I guess.
I think her uncle was the Mr. Kublik's whatever. Remember he went on the boat with Mr. Kublik's somebody?
Yeah.
So I think that was her uncle.
Yeah. Melanie Shea Thompson. Why do rich people always have three names?
Then Dougie shows up. He's so funny.
But this is important because Pacey and Melanie decided to meet for lunch later and she says, make sure you wear that shirt I got you. So you kind of, she's not like grooming him, but she's trying to change him, if you will.
Yeah. She's trying to make him fit into her world a little bit.
Yeah.
And we learn that Pacey has been back from the Caribbean for 3.5 weeks. And Doug wants him to go meet his chef friend at a restaurant in Boston in hopes of getting him a job.
Pacey's really waiting for his next deckhand job, but Doug is like, you need to get serious. Stop with this, like, the ocean is calling you nonsense. Go meet my friend. Poor Joey. The drop line is like hundreds of students long.
It's insane. We really went to college in the weirdest time. Now, none of this stuff is in person. It would all be online in like 2 clicks.
Do you think you still have to get something signed?
I bet it's like still digital though, like a DocuSign or something.
Okay.
It is an insane line. And she's going to wait in it because that's how desperately she wants to drop this class. Also, we do have a white girl with dreadlocks.
Oh my, not a white girl with dreadlocks. Then we have another nice little Dawson-Audrey scene where they're kind of bonding over who they might know. We find out that Audrey's from Los Angeles. She hates Los Angeles. A girl from her high school went to USC film school. And so her and Dawson are chatting about that.
And they are talking about how this girl's kind of a freak. And that leads Dawson to say, yeah, I didn't think film school was going to be so full of posers, like people trying to be like this girl who changed her name to Kiwi.
And she's getting the hint that he doesn't love it as much as he is putting on. And she is like, why would you come here to see your friends after only a few weeks? And he's like, look, I'm homesick.
Said, this isn't your home.
But my friends are here, he says. It's really cute. I really like these two together, like a lot.
Yeah, me too. Totally agree. Feels very natural. And it's not like a... Even though they're a little flirty, it's not, there's no like heightened sense of sexual tension or anything like that, which I feel like happens a lot in the show. Something about seeing people rowing crew really brings me to a place as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
I love that. And then we're in the restaurant. The waitresses are sampling the food and Pacey strolls in.
He's dressed up. He's wearing nice khakis and he's wearing a nice shirt that Melanie got him because he's going to meet Melanie for lunch later. But he stopped here on the way. He meets Danny. Doug's friend.
Danny Brecker.
Danny Brecker. And Danny's like, look, kid, you here for the dishwasher job? Pacey's like, no, I'm just here as a favor to my brother. Please just tell him I came and did my due diligence.
And Danny's like, no, you're Dougie's brother. You are the new dishwasher. And he's like, no, man, couldn't be me. The new shirt really makes his eyes pop.
It does make his eyes pop. And he's a really good tan. Jen and Charlie are in his room. They're bonding. The reason they went back here, it sounds like they had a little off-camera bet that she doesn't think that he has as a vast array of music in his collection as he claims he does, which he claims to like rap and License to Ill and Dolly Parton, and he's there to prove her wrong. And he kind of says, unlike you, you kind of have like a narrow taste in music and you're cynical and kind of closed off. And this is like, of course, in reference to like when they met at the party, she didn't want to talk to him. She was very closed off. She felt like she had all the answers. She was not open to meeting new people.
And she goes back at him in this scene and he's like, not everything is a conspiracy theory. Like, it's fine. They're really going toe to toe. And they're both very good at negging. And this, I feel like this is what Toby wishes he was doing. But instead, he was just being like really mean and not flirting at all with Jack in the beginning.
Yeah. They kind of talk about like subverting expectations, which is pretty much what Charlie is trying to do, you know. And then they kiss and roll over and they're going to do it.
They're going to do it. And I'm here for it.
Me too. Good for Jen. Like Jack says, it's been such a long time.
Truly. We love that. We love that for them.
Love that for them. Audrey and Dawson end up bumping into Joey in the line. And Dawson and Joey kind of get into it a little bit, but not really. They kind of put a pin in it, but they reference that, you know, I'd love to talk about this. Joey really doesn't want to.
Joey is the queen of avoidance.
Of avoidance. And Dawson kind of uses Audrey a little bit, I think, to kind of get under her skin. Like, yeah, Audrey's flirting with me. It's great.
Yeah. Totally.
The cutaways to Audrey are so funny. She's like waving. And I just think about how much they would how much money they spent on background and extras.
Extras. There's extras everywhere.
Unreal. There's so many.
In every scene. The street, the campus. They're everywhere.
Do you think that's why they got rid of... But then they brought on so many cast members. I was going to say, do you think that's why they got rid of Mitch, Gale, and Bessie? But like...
I don't know.
The budget obviously got upped for this season, right?
Had to. And then Audrey and Dawson take off and leave Joey. And Joey's got some tears in her eyes. Joey is not happy. She finally makes it to the front of the line. And who would this be? The registrar? Who do you talk to about classes?
Yeah, I think it's someone at the registrar's office.
She's like, sorry, babe. This says Oscar Wilde. Bring me back a form signed by somebody who's alive. Joey's pissed.
Professor Wilder pulled a fast one on her.
She never even looked.
Idiot. And then there's this scene with Melanie and Pacey, and I feel like we're supposed to hate Melanie, but I don't.
No, not at all.
Like, I think it's supposed to be insulting, but I really don't feel like it is, because she's saying, you know, girls can pay for guys. You take care of me when you have a job, when your job comes through. You know, she's not insulting to him at all.
She jokingly calls him her deadbeat boyfriend, but... who cares? This is a joke.
Does she use the word deadbeat? Slacker boyfriend, she says.
Oh, slacker.
I feel like it's fine, but...
I think it's all fine. I think it's all fine, but it was just enough to set off some...
Stick with them.
Some alarm bells and Pacey. And then Jen's waking up in Charlie's bed, realizing that they both fell asleep in the middle of the day. Post-coital afternoon nap?
Yeah. College.
College.
He is so thin.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. This was my ideal man. And as someone who was always like, oh God, I'm so fat. Why was I dating men who were toothpicks?
I don't know. That's wild. I mean, he's so thin.
Like, love it.
Yeah.
That was my ideal body type.
Hilaire.
It also is hilarious to me that when he's laying down in the bed, you can clearly see that he's wearing his boxers. Like, I didn't think we were supposed to think he wasn't wearing his boxers. But then when he gets out of the bed, he acts like he's pulling up his boxers. That to me is funny.
It's interesting because he doesn't remember who Jack is. He thought she was kidding about grams. So it's like, was he listening to anything she was saying? Was it an act? Was he just trying to get her in bed? Is he sincere? Who knows?
But then he has a really good line at the door.
Yeah.
Like, way to go, Gina, with this dialogue.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
He's like, look, I don't want to pretend that this didn't happen. And she's like, what happened? I don't know what happened. And he's like, we liked each other and then we had sex. And if it's okay with you, I'd rather not go out on Friday night and have to start this process all over again with a girl that I don't like half as much as I like you. So... and she's like, okay, you can call me. And he's like, why would I call you? You're right here. And he brings her back into the room.
Those were the days. I mean, never happened to me, but
I mean, not that, not Charlie, the hottest man on earth.
Joey's pissed. She's like,
Your father's pissed.
He's like, look, you're way too good of a student for me to just let you off the hook like that. If you want me to sign the drop form, you're going to have to redo your paper, like I said, your story, and then I'll sign your drop form. He basically gets her to admit that she does want to drop the class because of a C.
And he finds her promising. He's like, look, it's as simple as a fact as if someone who just graduated high school knows the difference between its possessive and its apostrophe.
I mean, if that's the bar, oh my God.
I know.
The bar is in hell. Loving the sunset lighting.
Gorgeous. Golden.
Dusk, honey, dusk.
So he did, I think I missed that. He did say, because he's like, then write it. And he hands her a new blue book. Was it implied that he would change her grade or he said that explicitly? Because I would have been, I think I missed that. I thought he was just like having her do an assignment that wasn't going to mean anything.
She gives him this big speech and then he says, put it in the blue book. And if you could put it in the blue book and make it make sense, I'll let you go. Basically, I'll let you go chase that boy or something. So I think it's like, yeah.
Implied.
I mean, I feel like he says it without saying it, but.
Sure. I'm dense. I didn't pick up on it. Audrey and Dawson are at the top of the bell tower and Dawson's like, is this really where people go to kill themselves? It's so fun. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I feel like every college had that place.
Yeah. And it's just so Audrey to like joke about that and bring him here.
And then she's like, yeah, kill themselves or make out, want to make out. And he's like, sure. And she's like, no. Whether Joey likes to admit it or not, she and I are friends, or at least we're going to be, and I don't think she would like that very much.
So cute. And this is where Dawson mentions that he got fired.
Yeah. She's like, well, that's one less thing keeping you in LA.
And then Dawson's like, oh God, you're right.
Oh God.
You're right, girl. There's nothing keeping me there.
Professor Wilder reads Joey's story, which again, like he's not even obviously reading it out loud this time, but sitting there and watching someone read something that I've written, it's not my ideal.
No.
And he's like, I think we've found your problem. You're an overthinker.
She gives him a little bit more insight into her life. You know, she's like, my father's in prison, all of this stuff. And he's like, God, it sounds like you have so much more to offer. And you're such a good writer. It's too bad that, you know, you're not going to pursue this. And he hands her the drop slip and the blue book with the A minus on it.
New grade, A minus. She walks outside and throws away that drop slip. She's going to stick around.
She's not taking the easy way out. That's not the Joey Potter way.
No, it's not. She makes her little side smirk face and tosses it in the trash.
Yeah.
Casey swings back by to see Danny Brecker. He's not going to be a slacker boyfriend anymore.
He's newly motivated to get this job, but he doesn't want the dishwasher job. He wants a better job.
He tells Danny that $25 for a dish is highway robbery, which is hilarious. $25 for a fancy dinner in a major city sounds perfect.
Yeah. We get some insight into how Danny knows Doug and why Danny owes Doug a favor. And it turns out that Danny's wife, so he's married. Danny's wife is from Cape Side. And it sounds like Danny's had a few run-ins with Doug. He likes to get drunk and howl at the moon, he says. So Doug's must have let him off or got him home or something. So this is the favor.
Yes.
So all these, we just have to clock all these things. He has a wife. He likes to drink. You know, where will this go? Maybe nowhere. I don't know, but maybe somewhere.
After he tells him that story, he asks Pacey if it surprises him. And he says, yeah, it surprises me that someone would marry you. And this is when they get off into their little flirty banter.
Yeah. Pacey's just so good at that.
He is.
My God. Could you imagine if they did like a Pacey bi storyline? That's what would happen if it was made now.
Oh, hell yeah.
He would like experiment.
Yeah, 100%.
I think there is an episode in season 6 where like Pacey, or maybe it's 5, Pacey and Jack go to a gay bar and like Pacey gets hit on, or does he not get hit on? Something like that. He's either mad that he doesn't get hit on or he like sweeps up. I can't remember.
And then he goes outside and finally like actually meets the waitress. He saw her earlier, but they have a conversation.
Yeah, she's like, are you the new guy? He says, yes. She says, oh, well, you'll launch a smoke because then you'll get like 10 times as many, you know, smoke breaks. And she hates this place, but she says it's the people you're with, not the place you're at.
And it's good people. She says everyone in the kitchen thinks they're rock stars. Everyone in any kitchen thinks that they're rock stars. Have you ever worked in a restaurant? I can't remember.
I was a busboy at a country club. So, I mean, I was in the kitchen. Yeah.
I worked in all 3 restaurants, I guess.
3? Were you in the kitchen?
I was a server. So,
and you would go back to get the meals.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a different culture.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But this waitress says, you know, you might want to rethink the shirt, which is funny because that's the shirt that Melanie gave him and asked him to wear. So we get the feeling that Pacey might have a little love triangle going on. He has this wealthy girlfriend, Melanie. Not even girlfriend, just girl he's seeing. And now there's this like spunky working class woman who smokes and is, you know, street smart and sassy.
And she gives him her cigarettes and says, when I ask for these back tomorrow, don't give them to me. And then Joey comes booking it back to the dorm, runs into Audrey, where Audrey kind of tells her a made up story.
Yeah, basically, Dawson's over you. He went back to LA. He says he never wants to see you again. He's sick of you, like, stringing him along. And then Joey says, nice try. Where is he? The airport. Run. Run.
She really does say it like that. It's so weird. She's like, the airport. Duh. Go. So funny.
And guess what? She does. She goes to Logan.
So I was looking this up because I was like, I know 9/11 is what changed the fact that you could go to the gate with people, like if you didn't have a ticket.
Yeah.
But I don't know how quickly after it happened. So obviously they wrote this episode long before 9/11.
And shot it. Yeah. This is probably shot in August, I'm guessing.
Yeah. But I was trying to figure out when that change actually happened. All it says is end of 2001.
Now you can go to the gate still, but you need to get it approved and requested ahead of time, right?
But that just happened.
Oh, okay.
Like I think last year they made it so that you could like get like an approved visitor or an approved like guest pass or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess if you need to help someone, if you're dealing with like a child or an elderly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I always think about. I was like, if my nieces ever came, like I would have to go to the gate with them. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I looked into it and it was like, oh, you can.
Yeah. It said in 2025 that changed. My grandparents used to pick us up at the gate all the time when we flew to Florida. It was so cute.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute. And they talk about how Dawson's homesick. He thinks it's really great that she has Jen, Jack, and Grams, and she admits that it is. And he just says, if I get on that plane, I'm afraid that we'll never see each other again. And he says, do you want that? And she says, no, of course not. But before they even get into that, she says, you know, I didn't mean anything on that voicemail. Obviously, I want you here. I've imagined you coming here.
She was like, you understand me. And he's like, as long as I live, I will never understand you. Love, Dawson. Who would have thought I'd ever say that? Love, Dawson.
Right? Now, something very interesting, you know, I sometimes like to watch the closing credits now, you know, because whatever, I like to look for names and just give them the respect, you know, the assistant to Tom Kapanos, her name is Melanie Shea, which as we know, Pacey's girlfriend is named Melanie Shea Thompson. So I love when they do that.
Love that. That's awesome.
Love that.
Flight attendant is like, sir, are you getting on the plane? And he's like, Joey, as you said, if I get on that plane, we're going to go our separate ways. And in 4 years, we're not even going to recognize each other. Do you want that? She says, of course not. And he drops his duffel.
He's not getting on that plane.
He doesn't ever answer the flight attendant, which rude.
He's not getting on that plane.
And they close the boarding door.
What's going to happen next? I mean, it's great suspense.
It is. And that's the end. Speaking of the credits, I also noticed that the executive producer's card is now Paul Stupin, Tom Kapanos, and Greg Prange. So Berlanti isn't even on it anymore.
So, okay, he's off the show.
I think so.
So I think it is Kapanos who's the showrunner.
There you go. Good ep.
Good ep. We're off to a solid start. I mean, season 5 is decent, so I think it just gets a bad rap, but
I'm excited to keep watching it. I remember so little.
I'm excited too. But it was also just such a crazy time because, like, I was a college freshman as well, and it's like, you know, I mean, you're struggling to just adapt and survive, and I mean, I watched it, but I didn't obsess over it the way I did with seasons 1 through 4, where I would watch every episode
totally
3 or 4 times.
Something about the Cape side of it all was very comforting, right? It's like more of a comfort watch. And this is more of like just a...
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job of, you know, they're in the big city.
They made it completely different.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like they feel lost, we feel lost, kind of, which is kind of cool.
Exactly.
What are you watching?
I'm way behind on this, but I just watched Task season 1, which I didn't realize it's coming back for season 2. It was good. I really, really liked it. Definitely a little slow. Like people warned me that the first episode was a little slow, and it was, but not because people warned me that it was slow. I was expecting it to be really slow, and it was good. I think Tom Pelfrey is amazing. I think Mark Ruffalo is amazing.
I have loved Tom Pelfrey for 25 years, probably.
I know. You and producer Beth.
He was on Guiding Light, and he was just such a star when he joined. And then he went on to like Banshee, and then he played the crazy brother on Ozark.
He was so good in Ozark.
I liked Task a lot.
Yeah.
But that writer does write a little slowish.
Yeah, Brad Inglesby.
Yeah, he's on Mare of Easttown.
That's his vibe.
He had that movie that I loved. Not loved, I liked. But no one talked about it. It was that movie with Julianne Moore and Sydney Sweeney.
Echo Valley?
Yeah, I liked it. Had a lot of twists.
I've never even heard of it.
But his writing's a little slow, but I mean, it feels real that way because it's always in those like sleepy Pennsylvania towns.
And, yes.
Like the writing style like almost feeds the setting.
I completely agree. Especially like you and I are so well acquainted with that area, like the Delaware mm-hmm. County area and like know the people from that area. So it does feel so real.
Yeah.
Especially the accents. When I looked up the actors on Task, half
they're like British. Or more
are British, yeah. Australian. I was so impressed. What are you watching?
I became obsessed. So there was a reality show on Bravo called Shaws of Sunset, which was on for like 8, 9, 10 years. And now, of course, people know some of the cast members from Traitors, like Reza and MJ from Traitors or from Shaws. But they have a new show called The Valley Persian Style. Chef's kiss. Like, honestly, the show brought me so much joy. I just, at this point, I feel like they're my friends. I feel like Reza, MJ, and Gigi are like my friends. I feel like I've been watching them for like 10, 15 years. I love it. But I feel like you can't jump into the Valley Persian style. You have to go back to Shaw's.
Right. Oh, I have something else that people can and should watch. DTF St. Louis. Murder, mystery, HBO, airing every Sunday. David Harbour, Jason Bateman. It's awesome. I like it. And I think people should check it out.
You know what I'm liking this season of? But Drag Race. I feel like, yeah, every few years, Drag Race has like a really strong season. And I'm into this season, I must say.
I only watched that one episode with you and Mackenzie, but it was an enjoyable episode.
Yeah, I feel like it's a strong season. That's it. I have to watch some new stuff, I guess.
Well, next week we will be watching 503 Cape Side Revisited.
What will we be drinking for Cape Side Revisited?
We will be drinking the Beauty School Dropout. It is bourbon, lemon juice, and cranberry simple syrup.
Love it. So the title implies that we're going back to Cape Side, and we love Cape Side, as we just said. So
we're going home, babes.
Should be a good one.
Can't wait.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.